Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga is Chav Gimel. We are in Chav Beis and Beis. We are halfway down in the Amud. We are starting with the question. Va'atila Mehemne. They're not going to be believed on Tefillah. So in order to appreciate the question, let's quickly recap. We are here now in the third parak of Chagiga, and we are coming off the first Mishnah of the parak. First Mishnah taught us that there are numerous chumras that you have by Kodesh that goes above and beyond that of Truma. 11 in total. There is a discussion in the beginning of the parak in terms of how to make the count. It's either going to be 10 or 11. But right now, let's assume 11 is being the number. So a number of stringencies that you have by Kodesh. The first of the stringencies is Kli B'Sol Kli. So am I allowed to Tovel and a Mikvah one Kli inside of another Kli? So when it comes to Shuma, the answer is yes. When it comes to Kodesh, the answer is no. So why not? So if you recall back on Chaf Aleph, so that was a major discussion. Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, where the Gemara deliberated exactly why it is that I cannot tovel Kli B'Sol Kli when it comes to Kodesh. And there are two answers. Whether the first answer belongs to Rav Ilah, and Rav Ilah says, because of the weight of one Kli inside of another Kli, so we're looking at a Chatzitza. You're not going to have full contact of all surface areas of the Kli, and therefore the water is just simply not going to be making contact, and the Tefillah is not going to be good. And we're concerned about that. The Gemara says the second possible concern that of Rava is that the water that goes into the Kli, into the outer Kli, there's not going to be a gap that's wide enough. You need a certain width, a circumference of a hole in order for there to be considered connection between the water of the mikvah and the water inside the Kli. How big a hole does it have to be? Shvafer Sanot, we discussed that in yesterday's daf. And what the concern is that I don't have the Shvafer Sanot. Good, that was a machlokes between Rav and Rav Ilah. The Gemara gave nafkamin is between the two. And then in yesterday's daf, the Gemara asked a really simple question. Either way you go with Rav, you go with Rav Ilah, what comes out now is that you have a concern, or a legitimate concern by when you're toveling a Kli. Either chatzitza or the connection, shvafer sanod, but there's a real concern. So if there's a real concern, so why are we limited to Kodesh? Why is this concern only by Kodesh? Why isn't it by Truma? And for that matter, we could just keep going with the question. Why isn't it by Chulin as well? Why is it only by Kodesh? That's a really strong question, but the Gemara gave a very principled answer. And that is that you have to look at your consumer base. So when it comes to Truma, so the Kohanim now are going to be receiving Truma by an Amma Aretz, and the Amma Aretz is not careful about these halachas. So what the Kohen could say to him is, no, thank you. In other words, we're just simply not going to take from you. But when it comes to Kodesh, so we don't have that luxury. Why don't we have that luxury? Because when it comes to Kodesh, there's one address for Kodesh. And that, of course, is the base of Mikdash. And now what happens when we say no to them? So no to them is going to mean, oh, you really? You don't want me here? You're right. You're not going to accept my Kelim. You're not going to accept my Kodesh? Okay, I'll go elsewhere. And obviously, that's something that we want to avoid. Historically, it happened, but we want to avoid it. We don't want anyone making a new base of Mikdash. Good. So that was the Gemara's distinction between the two. The Gemara in yesterday's daf wanted to know the Gemara made a distinction between whether the outer Kli was Tamei or Tahor. But anyway, the Gemara says, well, what about the following? Why aren't we concerned about Sheila? Meaning, nobody borrows Kelim from one another. And as we quoted in yesterday's daf, both Chav Beis Amad Aleph and Chav Beis Amad Beis, people lend Kelim one to another. Amaratzim lend Kelim to Ochlei Truma, to Chaverim. So if we're worried that the Amaratzim don't know how to tovel their Kelim, they're not sensitive to these issues of Chatzitza and Shofar Zanod, so how can you ever borrow a Kli from an Amaratz? It was a good question, but the Gemara gave a really simple answer. And that is that when you borrow the Kli from them, seriously, here's what you do. You'll tovel the Kli, okay, and obviously you'll do it. You'll do it privately. You won't do it to offend it, but you'll tovel the Kli. Okay. That is all as per the Gemara that we did yesterday. And now we pick it up right where we left off. Middle of Chav Beis Amud Beis, the Atvila Lo Mehemne. So that means to say that we're not going to believe them when they say they toveled it. Meaning they turn to you and they say, we toveled it. So we say, thank you very much. But we're going to tovel it again. Our bedside manners are going to be good, but we don't believe them. They're not given credibility when they say that they toveled it. Ve'hatanya. So the Gemara says, now let's consider the following. Ne'amanim Amma Aretz al Taharas Tfilas Tamei Meis. So Amma Aretz is going to be believed when it comes to Tfilas Tamas Meis. Now, I'm going to leave the pronoun right now unidentified. when it, I'll just say it. You'll see why I say that. When it declares that there was tefillah for Tumas Mei, so we believe that's a braisa. Now, Amar Abai Lokasha Habagufa Habakelef. So Abai says it depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about themselves, and they say that they toveled, for that we're going to be believed. But regarding their kalim, so for that we don't have nemunus. So a distinction between them and their kalim. I did spend some time trying to think about why there would be a distinction and what's a svara to make such a distinction that we extend credibility to themselves but not towards their kalim. But one of the things that maybe is distinction is because when it comes to kalim, there are a lot of details regarding tefillas kalim. In fact, go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah noted numerous considerations and concerns when it comes to tefillas kalim. Right, kli b'soch kli, chatzitza, shvaferes anod. So there are a lot of things, there are a lot of details to know when it comes to tovel and kalim. However, when you talk about tovel yourself, so what do you need to know? You jump in, you submerge, you come out. I'm not fully convinced that I'm right. There are a lot of details also when you tovel in the mikvah. In other words, there are chatzitza issues when people tovel in the mikvah. Okay, so, all right, but still, in other words, there's a mitzvah to defend Abaye and explain Abaye, and I'm not saying I'm doing the best job, but okay, Abaye says there's a difference to be made between tefillas aguf and tefillas kalim. Good. Okay, could be. Okay. Rava Amar Idi B'Kalim. And Rava says, no, both, we could split the difference even within Kalim. And Velokasha had Amar Me'olam lo hit balalti kli beso kli. Vahada Amar hit balalti avalo hit balalti bekli she'em befif kishvafer sanod. So the Gemara says it depends on what he's telling you. If he's telling you that I was careful not to tovel kli beso kli, or the issues of shofar's note, meaning that if he's telling you that he's sensitive to these particular issues under those circumstances, now he's extended credibility. Vahatanya, and the Gemara here quotes a brisa. Neman amar lomar peros lo huchsheru, aval eno neman lomar peros huchsheru aval lo nitmu. So if he's telling you that lo huchsheru, that these particular fruit never came into contact with liquid, so for that you could believe them. But once they start getting involved in the halachos, yeah, you know what? They were mukhshar, but they never becomes tameh. And now you need him to know the areas of halacha of tumah in order for him to tell you now it did not become tameh. So at that point in time, that requires a knowledge base. We assume that they don't have the requisite knowledge base. And that's why at that point in time, they're not credible. So if basically the distinction, the second distinction that a Rava is that it depends on what they're trying to communicate to you. If what they're trying to communicate to you is simple facts, okay, simple facts you could follow. But once they now have to convey to you halachas and detailed halachas, at that point in time, they're no longer given credibility. Yeah, in other words, it's a mesiach lefi tumo, and we're assuming, I know it's a little bit harsh, but we're assuming that they know very little. So mesiach lefi tumo on things that anybody could say, great. But mesiach lefi tumo on things that require knowledge base, we assume that they don't know what they don't have it. Ve'agufo me'mehem, and ve'atanya, the Gemara says, okay. So we have just got done saying that, at least according to the first distinction. The second distinction Rava seems to agree with this point as well. That if they come and they report that they toveled in the mikvah, for that they're going to be believed. So ve'atanya, the Gemara says, on this one quick question, and that is a braisa. Chavisha ba'lahazos mazin alav miyad. Ama arisha ba'lahazos ein mazin alav ashi asu befanenu shlishi v'shvi. So let's say somebody comes over and says, look, I'm tamei meis. But you know what? I'm already on day three. In other words, because you need hazal, you need to be sprinkled with the paraduma on day three and day seven. So if a chaver comes over to you and says, look, I was tamei meis, but that was 3 days ago. I'm ready for my first sprinkling. Okay, so so he'll receive his first sprinkling. However, if the amaretz comes along and says, I'm tamei meis, and I've now waited 3 days since my contact with tuma, so what we're going to do is that we're going to demand that he has to wait 3 days from now. Okay, so what does that tell us? It tells us that they don't have credibility. So the Gemara says, "Ela marabai mitoch chomer sheichmart ala b'tchilaso, he kalt ala b'sofo." So Abai's explanation is that's not a question. Actually, that is working in complement to what I'm saying. Meaning, consider, when we have the Amaretz that comes over to us and says, I need to be sprinkled with the Paraduma. And my contact was 3 days ago. So now we're going to be machmer in him. And we're going to say, I'll tell you what, your starting point is now. Not 3 days ago. Okay. So under those circumstances, so you see now that we're machmer. Okay, so we're going to balance the scales. Since we're machmer with him on the front end, so now, because of those chumras, it gives us a luxury to be make on the back end. Meaning, after now the sprinkling is done, and he goes to someone, he says, you know, the Amaret says, I was tamei mes, but now I resolved that I sprinkled with the paraduma, so now we believe them. Why? Since the only one who's going to be sprinkling him is going to demand chumras on the front end, so therefore he's extended the nemanus to say that he, in fact, did sprinkle when he claims that he actually was sprinkled with the paraduma. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of, we're not finished with yesterday's stuff, but we are pretty much concluded with a discussion regarding the borrowing of the kalim of an Amaret. How can we borrow it? The Gemara is reporting that they just simply don't have the requisite knowledge base. And the answer is very simple. We borrow the kalim from them, and then we tov the kalim ourselves. Either not believed. The answer is very simple. Yes, that's correct. They're not believed. Okay. To make the Gemara, which is a little bit complicated, a little bit shorter. In other words, they don't have Ne'emanus. There are other areas in Tumat Tahara where they have limited Ne'emanus. On their guf, they have limited Ne'emanus. And certain basic information, they have Ne'emanus. But anything that involves halachic knowledge, they don't have Ne'emanus. Okay. Next. Acharayim Vesoch. Okay. What do we say? We said that if a kli becomes Tami Tumah Midrabanan, we are now on the second distinction in the Gemara between the Kodesh and Truma. So in the world of Kodesh, well, let's start with Truma. In the world of Truma, Acharayim, Toch, Beis HaTzvita. So what we could do is that we could segregate a Kli into different parts. Now, as I pointed out back in the Mishnah, we get to repeat again right now, segregating a Kli into separate parts, what? If the Kli becomes Tamei, you know what part of the Kli becomes Tamei? All of it. It's binary. It's all or nothing. So what does it mean that we're segregating a kli into different parts? So what we're talking about over here, as Rashi back in the Mishnah said, as we're going to be saying right now, we're talking about a tumah derabanan. On a tumah derabanan, I'll explain how in just a moment, the kli comes tamei mid derabanan. On a tumah derabanan, so the kli now gets to be separated into its various parts, meaning one part of the kli becomes tamei, but not the other part of the kli. Oh, okay, good. So the Gemara now goes on to explain. Acharayim v'toch mai acharayim v'toch kidenan kli shenitma acharav v'mashken acharav tameim tochel ogno azno v'yadav tarim nitma tochel kulo tamei. So let's say I have a kli that becomes tamei b'mashken. Okay, what happens? A liquid comes into contact with a kli. Liquid comes into contact with a kli, and it is now tamei. What? In other words, how does that work? Meaning a liquid is a derivative tumah. It's a vlada tumah. How is the mashke going to be mitame kli? And so I'll ask the question, but the answer is really straightforward. Mashke is not mitame kli, and no vlad is mitame kli. Kli can only become tame from an avatama. That's a basic yisod in the world of tumah tahara. So now a mashke comes into contact with a kli. The kli is tame. That's a din derabanan. Now why? Why did the chachamim do that? Because there are liquids and then there are liquids. Meaning most of the liquids are derivatives, they're vlada tuma, and they're not gonna be metamically. However, there are certain liquids that are navatuma. Limited in number, but there are. Most prominently, I can't really think of another example right now, and that is the roke of a zav and the may raglayim, right? The spit and the urine. So certain bodily secretions, not all bodily secretions of a zav are in fact tame. Okay, if my memory is good, so the Gemara in Nida pointed out that there are 9 secretions in total. We divide into 3 categories. Anyway, but right now we're talking about the main secretions. We're talking about spit and urine. So spit and urine of a zav are an av hatuma. So if the spit of a zav comes into contact with a kli, kli is tamei, mid araisa. Same thing with the urine as well. Okay, so now, with that stated, so now, if mashke comes into contact with a zav, the Chachamim said, well, since mashke is similar to the spit of a zav, so therefore the chachamim in gzera that if mashke comes into contact with the kli, so the kli now is going to be tamei, albeit midrabanan. Now the Chachamim want people to know that's a din d'rabbanan. Why? So here Rashi explains, and again, I know this gets a little bit complicated, but Rashi explains. The Chachamim want people to know that the kli is tamei d'rabbanan, so that if this kli comes into contact with truma, we won't burn the truma. Now obviously we won't eat the truma, but we're not going to burn the truma. Is the truma tamei midaraisa? No. So we can't burn the truma. So it's a little bit of a funny situation. The truma now is in a limbo state where, on one hand, it's inedible because it's tamei. On the other hand, because it's not tamei midaraisa, we're not going to burn it. Okay, I guess you let it rot. Maybe they burned it. Right, they burned it. Okay, good. So that's the halacha. So how do the Chachamim communicate to everybody that's only tamei midrabanan? By making this strange halacha. Strange over here is not me being, God forbid, it's not being me judgmental on the halacha. It just simply means it's unique. It's bizarre. In that now, if the mashka comes into contact with the outside of the kli, only the outside is tamei, the inside is not tamei. Okay. Those are the ABCs of Tumas Mashkim as it relates to a kli. And so all we're learning now in the Mishnah is that this is going to be true when it comes to Truma, but it's not going to be true regarding Kodesh, meaning Kodesh has that elevated level of Kedusha, and therefore, once Mashka comes into contact with a kli vis-a-vis Kodesh, the whole kli becomes tamei. Okay. Uves HaTzvita. Now, the Mishnah described the Beis HaTzvita. The Gemara asks a very simple question. What is that? So my Beis HaTzvita, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Makom Shetzofto. It's the place where you handle the kli. Or we could say the handle of the kli. The pasuk in Rus, he handed her the grains. Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Makom Sheniki Adas Sovin. Another definition of the word Sovtin is that, you know, Niki Adas, people who are really particular and a little squirmish. So what do they want to do? They want to have they don't want to have a shared dipping bowl. Okay, who wants a shared dipping bowl? Personally, I'm okay with it. But anyway, so what you want is within your plate, so they have like a little section of the plate where you put the sauce on your plate, and that's its sovet section of the plate. Tini Rabbi Bikamei Derav Nachman Kolakim Ein Lam Acharayim V'Toch Echa Kashe Hamikdash V'Echa Kashe Hagvul. Okay, the following brisa was taught in front of Rav Nachman. That as far as kelim are concerned, so there is no Acharayim V'Toch, meaning we don't segregate a kli. And that's both by Kachik Mikdash and by Kachik Vol as well. Okay. That price is problematic. Because in our Mishnah, we learned as the second basic distinction between Truma and Kodesh is that by Truma, we do segregate a Kli for Tumas Mashkin, and for Kodesh, we don't. Okay. Now, Amalei Kachik Vol, my Nihu. Now, in this price that we just learned together, it says both by Kodesh and Kachik Vol. You know, Kodesh outside of Yerushalayim. What do you think that's making a reference to? Most probably Truma. So the Gemara says, yeah. So my Nino Truma. So obviously now, if our interpretation of the Braisa is correct, the Braisa now is totally opposed to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when it comes to Truma, a Kli is going to be divided for Tumas Mashkin. And here in the Braisa, if we're right, by Truma, a Kli is not to be divided. That's called the Stira. So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. As far as the Braisa, when the Braisa says Kachik Vul, it's not talking about Truma. You know what it's talking about? Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. And now, once he said that, Artgan Milsa, you reminded me. That's an excellent pshat in the Braisa. Of the Amir, Rabba Baravu, Acharas Vemal, Shanu Khan, Shesh Rishonos, Bein Lakosh, Bein Lakhun, Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh, Achronos, Lakosh Aval Lakhun, Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. So remember, this is now the second time we're going over this. What you could do with the 11 differences in our Mishnah is you can divide it into two parts. The first part is made up of 6, the second part is made up of 5. Now, the first 6, what are we talking about? Real concerns, chashashos, that if, in fact, this concern is true, it would result in a Tumah D'Oraisa. So in the first 6 now, not only are these chumras going to apply to Kodesh, but even Chulin Shenasu Ataras HaKodesh. Remember, people want to treat their Chulin like Kodesh, and so therefore, they take this upon themselves. So now, what status is their chulin going to be? Chulin shenasa taras kodesh. So it's going to have the status of kodesh. With all the chumras of kodesh? No. Some of the chumras of kodesh. Which chumras? The first 6. Why? Because that is predicated on a chashash, which if the chashash is in fact true, it would be a Tumah Daraisa. On the other hand, the latter five of the Mishnah, those are Gzeros to Midrabanan. Those are rabbinic institutions. Under those circumstances, they didn't extend it to Chulin Shenasa Taras HaKodesh. Good. And consider now we're talking about the segregation of a Kli into its different parts. That's the second distinction in our Mishnah. So obviously it falls within the first six. Okay. Hanosis and Medrash Nosis and Chumah Veloz HaKodesh. Okay. This is now in our Mishnah, number three. Number three, Gnosis, a Medrash, Gnosis, a Truma. So let's say you're holding Medrash in one hand. So it's a Medrash meaning something that a Zav sat down on. So you can hold Truma on the other hand. Okay. It sounds a little bit risky, doesn't it? In one hand you're holding an Avatoma, in the other hand you're holding Truma. That's weird. But the point is, however, is that just because you're holding the two at the same time, so the Truma is not gonna, you're not gonna be the conductor of the Truma. It's not gonna go through you. And the Chachamim made no gzera under those circumstances to say that the Truma is tummy. Consider. What is the Medrash? The Medrash is going to be an Av. What does that make you? It makes you a Rishon. What does that make whatever you're touching in your hands? Well, if it's the food, it's tummy. But if it's a Kli, it's fine. Okay, so, I know the Medrash knows it's a Truma, Veloz a Kodesh. So, Kodesh my time, Allah, Mishra Maisa Shahaya. So the Gemara says, now why not by Kodesh? Meaning, why is it now that if I'm holding measures in one hand and Kodesh in the other hand, so now immediately the Kodesh becomes Tameh? So why should that be? Because of Maisa Shaya, because of an incident. What happened was is that a person was taking a barrel of wine. Now, this wine happened to have been Kodesh. And what happened was is that part of his shoe fell off. Now, the strap of the shoe fell off and broke off and this shoe was a medrash, meaning it was something that the Zav has, in this case, stood on, but and what he did is he put it on the barrel of Anafala Avir Chavis, and then it fell into the airspace of the barrel, Vinitma, and the context becomes Tameh. Okay, now this happens to be an issue that comes up numerous times throughout Chas, and that is rabbinic legislation based on an episode.
Okay. I mean, is a shoeish even considered a kli to cause
Tosus asked your question. Meaning it's an excellent question. So making a gzera based on an episode. So generally speaking, when the Chachamim make a gzera, so they are extraordinarily meticulous and careful about making sure that it could take and it's necessary and so forth and so on. So over here, when you hear something like this, so right, a little bit of an alarm goes off in terms of, you know, what's the basis of the gzera because of one incident that occurred. So the Chachamim made gzera in total. So I always feel that there's a lot more going on in terms of the history behind this particular gzera. But still, maybe I'm suggesting, it doesn't mean I'm right. Maybe over here this was the final straw that broke the camel's back, or the proverbial camel's back. I'm still a little bit unclear, as you can hear. But regardless, the point, however, is that the Chachamim made the gzera predicated on this particular episode. Now, in this particular episode, so what was being transported? So it was Yain Shel Kodesh. So since it was Yain Shel Kodesh, so therefore the Chachamim made a gzera specific to Kodesh and not to Truma. So Venan Levinich Apei Chavitz Venafel Avir Chavitz. I read all that already. I'm sorry. Venitma Baoso Sha Amra. Okay, so at that point, they said, we're on Chav Gim Amid Alpha, three lines down. So I know since a Medrash knows it's a Truma, of Allah is a Kodesh. Okay, so because the incident happened with Kodesh, so the Chachamim made a gzera, but only specific to Kodesh and not to Truma. The Gemara says, Ihachi Truma Nami. So the Gemara says, well, why not? Meaning, well, let's think about what happened. The strap of the shoe fell into the Chavis. So if the contents of the Chavis would be Truma, the same result, it would be Tameh. So if this is your concern, shouldn't we extend the Gzera to Truma as well? So the Gemara says no. So Mani, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, he. Da'amar lo asr ela b'yardin of Sfino kamaisa shahaya. We're following the Shita of Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya. Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya says that when the Chachamim make a Gzera based on an episode, so Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya says that the Gzera is not going to deviate from the episode, meaning you're going to take the key features of the episode, and that will shape the gzera. And what you're not going to do is that you're not going to start extending it in various directions, even though there may be arguments to do so, but you're not going to do so. You know the story with the boat in the Jordan River. What? What's the story? Okay, so follow up. So Mahi, the Tanya. So the Gemara tells us this episode regarding the Shita of Chananya ben Akavya. Lo yisa adam mechatos ve'efrachatos ve'avrim b'yardin v'sfina, transporting the mechatos and efrachatos. So obviously you need to move it around from place to place. In other words, people need to become tahor. So the ashes are kept in a tube. In fact, we're going to talk more about the tube later today. The mayim chayim, that's spring water. And so when transporting either the mechatos, the efrachatos, so you can transport them any way you want, right? In a car. You know, in a car. So right, by foot, by donkey, so forth and so on. Here's how you can't transport it. You can't transport it via boat. Okay, what? Why not? So the ve'efrachat ve'avirim b'yardin of v'sfina. Not b'yardin of v'sfina. V'lo yamo b'tzazev yizrikem l'tzad acher. You can't throw it over river. V'lo yishitem apnei amayim. You can't swim it over the river. V'lo yirka v'agabe behema. Can't ride on the back of an animal, v'laga bechavero, not on the back of a person. Elim kenayu raglav, no coast bekarka. The only way you can do so is that you have to be grounded. In other words, the only way that the Efer Parah and the May Parah could be transported is only by ground transportation. Okay? No air and no sea. Okay? So the Ava Ma'avir Nagabe Agesher, you can go over a bridge. Bridge is okay. Now, in terms of no sea, so it doesn't matter which body of water we're talking about. We could be talking about the Yarden. We could talk about any body of water. You cannot transport the Efer Parah over any body of water. And here now, Rav Chananya ben Akavya Omer lo asro ela b'yarden of Esfina, uche maisa shayya. So Rav Chananya ben Akavya says, no, only this gzera is only limited to the Jordan River. That's it. Because the entire Gzera is based on an episode, and since the episode occurred by the Yarden, so therefore the Gzera is only going to go to the Yarden. Okay, so by the way, what we got clearly from this Brisa is that obviously not everyone's on board with Rav Chananya ben Akavya, right? So a number of Tanaim are of the position that no, that once a Gzera is made, so it can get extended over any body of water, but anyway, but over here at least we got to see the Shita of Rav Chananya ben Akavya. Now, the obvious question, What's the story? What happened? Meaning, because of an episode that occurred, so therefore there's no transportation of the mechatos efer parah over a body of water. What's the episode? So my ma'isa shaya dam rav yehuda amar rav ma'isa ba'ad mechatos shaya ma'aver mechatos efer chatos b'yardin of esfina. So one time a person was going taking it on a boat over the Jordan River and benimsa kazayis meis tachav b'karkiel social esfina. And then what happened was is that they found that there was a little bit of human remains tucked away somewhere within the walls of the boat. And so from that episode, so the Chachamim made Gzera. Again, I know, second time today, where you had an episode and the Chachamim made Gzera based on the episode. Again, I don't want us to get the impression that they were this kind of reactionary. I'm assuming, and I hope I'm correct. I think I'm correct that there was more involved, and these are just like, you know, these episodes kind of like broke it. But anyway, but according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, the Gzera itself will not extend beyond the actual episode itself. So Ibailu, so the Gemara says good. So now we know about the Gzera. We just learned about two Gzeras. One about how to transport the Mechatos Efer Parah. And number two is the Gzera regarding the holding of Medrash in one hand and the holding of Kodesh in the other hand. And if you're holding the two, right, you're holding Medrash in one hand and Kodesh in the other hand, the Kodesh now becomes Tamei Midrabanan. And that's Gzera. Ibailu Sando Tamei Sando Tar Mahor. Mahor. So the Gemara just has two quick follow-up questions. Sorry, three quick follow-up questions. Question number one. I certainly understand that if the sandals tamei, so that looks just like the episode that occurred. And I certainly understand. What if the sandals tahor? Okay, so if the sandals tahor, okay, so I know the sandals tahor, which means now that the kodesh you're holding in the other hand is not tamei, but is there a gzera under those circumstances? Remember, the gzera is you're holding a shoe in one hand and the barrel of kodesh in the other hand. So maybe the gzera would extend in such a case as well.
mean, if sandal is Torah, what does Medvedev can't even wear?
Right. So I guess the question is, but it looks like the episode.
So it wouldn't be a Xero.
Whatever. It's only be all the same Xero. So Chavis Psucha, Chavis Tumamahu. In the episode, the barrel was open, clearly, because what happened was is that the strap fell into the barrel. What if the barrel was closed? Would the Chachamim make a Xero in that case? Okay. Quick follow-up question number two. And finally, number three. Avar Venasa Mahu. Well, what if you went ahead and you did, in fact, carry one in one hand, the other in the other hand? So Ravilah Amarim Avar Venasa Tame, Rav Zera Amar Avar Venasa Tahor. An interesting machlokas amarim vis-a-vis what would be the effect if you did so b'di'evit? Meaning lechatchila, obviously everyone's in agreement you shouldn't do it, but what if you did it b'di'evit? Hard for me to understand. If you did it b'di'evit, isn't the gzera now that it becomes tame? And meanwhile, there's a tana that says no, that b'di'evit, if you shouldn't have done it, but post facto, if you did it, it's going to be tahor. Okay, admittedly, that's a little bit challenging to understand. Okay. Kelim anigmar b'tahara. Okay, we're moving on in the Mishnah. So, so far now, in the last, since we started the Perek, so we cover now the first gzera of our Mishnah, of Kli B'soch Kli. Again, this is only relevant to Kodesh, not to Truma. So we discussed the Kli B'soch Kli. That was a lengthy discussion, which covered Chaf Av, Chaf Beis. Now we just finished our discussion regarding on the back of yesterday's daf, on the bottom of yesterday's daf, we talked about taking a kli and breaking it up into its parts, the back, the inside, the handle, vis-a-vis Tumas Mashkin, which we're going to do for Truma, but we're not going to do for Kodesh. That was number two. And number three, we just finished. I know say it's a Medrash, no say it's a Truma, Avalos a Kodesh. You can be holding Medrash in one hand and Truma in the other hand, but you can't be holding Medrash in one hand and Kodesh in the other hand. And we just finished discussing that as well. Kalim hanigmarim b'tahara. So which what number is that? That's number six. So what does that mean? It means we skip two in our Mishnah. Okay, big day ochli truma and the well, the truth of the matter is we didn't skip number five, right? Because number five was the knots and the untying of the knots, and that was a chatzitza concern, which the Gemara touched on earlier. Okay, so the one that we really skipped in total is number four. Okay, anyway, we're here at number six. And continuing now in the Gemara. We're in Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We are halfway down in the Amud. So remember, a kli before it's finished, an unfinished keli, it's just simply not susceptible to Tumah. The only time that a kli can become eligible and susceptible to Tumah is only when it's a finished product. So over here we're talking about where it's finished and was finished by Tahara. The craftsman, the smith who worked on the kli, so he was Tahor. And now he finished the cleaning, was in a state of Tahara. So what do we say in the Mishnah? So for Truma, good. You're good to go. You don't need to tovel it. And by the way, right, it can be a little bit confusing. Don't get confused. We're not talking about your toveling of a kli because you purchased it from a non-Jew. That's a different halacha. We're talking about Tumah Tahara right now. So vis-a-vis Tumah Tahara, you're fine. Okay, which makes perfect sense. Ah, but when it comes to Kodesh, so there now, It needs to be tovled. Gemara says, I'm thinking about it. It's hard to understand why. So the Gemara says, well, if a chaver went ahead, if he was your blacksmith and he finished the kli, so he's a chaver. He's careful about tumah tahara. He's telling you that he was tahor. The kli's tahor. Like, why would I need to tovel in the mikvah? There'd be no reason. So Ella de Garmino Amaritz. The Gemara says, so the Amaritz was the one who completed it. So Nigmar and Batara Kari Lahu. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, but that's ridiculous. Meaning if the Amaritz completed it, if he was the craftsman who completed it, so we all know the halacha, the Amaritz is tummy. I mean, right, the Amaritz is not careful about various tumas that he can encounter. So he's tummy. And so therefore the Amaritz finishes it. So the moment that he finishes it and he hands it to you, so he just touched it, it's tummy. So the Gemara says, so Amar Rabba Barshila, Amar Rav Masta, Amar Shmuel, Lolam de Gamrina Chaver, Mishum Tzinor, Da Amar Aretz Tanafal. So the Gemara says, no, the craftsman is a Chaver, but what happened was, is that, there was a little bit of spit of an Amar Aretz that fell on the Kli. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ema. Elam and Mekamad de Ligmere Halav Manu. Did the spit fall on the Kli, before it was completed? So at that point in time, it's impervious to Tumah. And Ella Basa de Gamre. So the Gemara says, no, it was after it was completed. The Gemara says, Mrs. Arbahu. So I don't understand. Once the chaver completed the kli, so he's going to make sure that the amar aretz doesn't go to his back room and doesn't put his spin on any of the kalim. So the gemara says, "V'olam mikame degamer." So the gemara says, "No. What happened was is that he was working in the factory and he was working on the kli. Now at this point in time, because it's an unfinished product, so his guard is down. He's going to relax a little bit. The amar aretz comes over, wishes him a good morning. He says good morning back, and some of the spit of the amar aretz lands on the kli. Okay, so but the craftsman's going to shrug his shoulders because it's not a finished product yet." So Vidilma, and here's the concern. Remember, by the first six, everything's a concern. So here's the concern. Vidilma, be'ina degamri, adayin lachihi. So the Gemara says, okay, and now, so it could very well be that the spit, right, as he's working, he forgot about the spit, and the spit, by the time he was finished with the kli, the spit is still moist, and what do we know? The halacha is, the Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara Nida, that when it comes to the spit, as long as it's still moist, so therefore it's still going to be a functioning as a source of tuma. And therefore that spit that's on the kli, even post-production, is now going to be metame the kli. Okay, that Gemara says that's a concern. So tefillah in Harav Shemeshlam. Okay, and now we're going to start a bit of a complicated sugya. I mean, we're going to do it quickly, but it's going to be a little bit complicated, and I admit it's going to be a little bit complicated. Okay, so what do we learn in our Mishnah? That if a kli is nigmar b'tahara, so for Kodesh, you still need to tovel it. Okay, now, anytime we're talking about tumah, we're talking about the removal of tumah. So it's a two-step process, right? So you tovel the mikvah, and you need harav shemesh. Okay, so it's and it's almost always a two-step. Tefillah b'mikvah together with harav shemesh. Harav shemesh is very simple. It just simply means that you have to wait until the sun sets. Meaning that if you, let's say, for example, you tovel that night, okay, you got to wait now till the following conclusion of the next day where you experience Erev Shemesh. Anyway, that's true for people. It's true for Kalim as well. So generally speaking, when we're talking about making something Tahor, so it's Tefillah and it's a Erev Shemesh. What the Gemara now notes is that, look, what are we talking about in our Mishnah? These are Ma'alos. These are Chumros that are imposed in limited circumstances. In this particular case, the Keli was Nigbar B'Tahara. So what do we learn in the Mishnah? Srichin tvila l'kodesh. So you have to tovel it for Kodesh. But now, if you're carefully reading the Mishnah, listening really intently, so what's the Mishnah telling us? You could use it right immediately after tvila. Tovel it and use it immediately. What about Harav Shemesh? Doesn't seem like you need Harav Shemesh. So tvila in Harav Shemesh l'mas. This is the local Rebbe Elazar. So the Gemara says, now our Mishnah is not going like the Shita Rebbe Elazar. How do I know that? Did not, because we're going to learn the Mishnah in Parah. Now, we're talking here about the tube. I told you later today we're talking about the tube. Here we are. So we're talking about the tube, right? What's that? The subway system in London, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the tube is a way in which the Efer HaParah is transported. It's very simple. In other words, it's a very basic tube where you take the ashes, you put it in, and then you go around from place to place, and, you know, you just a couple of sprinkles of the powder into mechatas, and now you have the solution, and now you can sprinkle and you're good to go. So we're talking now about the production of this tube. Okay, what is it, made out of wood, metal? I don't know, your guess is better than mine. Anyway, shofer shechatcha lechata. So what you did is that you cut it, meaning cutting it over here just simply means that you're manufacturing it, you're producing it. And you're doing so for the mechata. So Rebbe Elazar Omer Yitbol Miyad. So Rebbe Elazar is of the position that you tovel it immediately. And Rebbe Yeshua, Amar Yitma V'Achakach Yitbol, and Rebbe Yeshua says, no, you go out of your way to be metameh it, and then you tovel it. Okay. Hold thoughts in terms of what's happening over here. V'Havinan Ba. Now, on this Mishnah in Parah, so we ask a really simple question. Dechat Chaman. Who's the manufacturer? So Elam Dechat Chachaver Lamali Tvila. So what are you telling me? A Chaver manufactured it? So then why do I have to tovel it? The chaver, somebody who's careful about tumah tahara. So post-production, now it's fine. I don't need to tovel it. So ve'ela dechatcha ma'aretz. So the Gemara says, okay, so an ma'aretz was a manufacturer. So b'halem Rabbi Yeshua, yitma v'yitba ha'tameh v'kai. So in the Mishnah and Parah, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? Be metameh it. Newsflash, it's already tameh. If the manufacturer is an ma'aretz, it's tameh. So ve'amar rabba barshila amar rab masna amar shmol olam dechatcha chaver. So the Gemara says, no, what happened was is that the Chaver went ahead and manufactured it. And umishum sinor dama arts enafa. And what happened was is that an Amaritz came over and, again, good morning, how are you? How's your kids? So forth and so on. And while they were talking, so a little bit of spit came from the mouth of the amar, it's onto the tube. So aim azila memekamet lechechei halav manahu. So the Gemara says, well, if it fell on before it was the finished product, so we all know the halacha. It's impervious to tumah. Ve'alabasa dechatcha. So the Gemara says it's after it was cut. So mizazayirba. So what do you mean? In other words, post production. So the chaver is not going to invite the amar to the back. Meaning once these tubes now are a gemar, once they're a finished product, so therefore he's going to be careful that no amar is going to come into contact with it nor spit on it. So So now, as simple pshat in the Mishnah Parah, I say simple, by the way, it's not so simple. But as simple pshat in the Mishnah Parah, we're talking about a case where the manufacturer was a chaver, and the amaretz came into his back while he was still working on it. Some spit came onto the item, and now the spit remained moist even through post-production.
It's a presumption, nothing witnessed.
No, right. All these are chashas. They're concerns. Now, hopefully it sounds familiar because it's exactly what we said in terms of the pshat in our Mishnah. So now what you can do in your head is that the Mishnah and Parah describing the production of the tube is almost identical to our Mishnah here in Chagiga regarding the production of a kli. Now, what did we just learn together? That as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is pretty clear, let's say better, is very clear that it doesn't need Harif Shemesh. In other words, the Chumrah is that you tovel it, but then you can make use of it immediately. It doesn't need Harif Shemesh. And meanwhile, the Mishnah and Parah, so now let's consider the Mishnah and Parah. So there are two opinions in the Mishnah and Parah, if you remember. It's Rabbi Yeshua and it's Rabbi Lazar. We have to remember, meaning in order to understand the Gemara. So it's Rabbi Lazar and it's Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Lazar says is that Yitbal Miyad, you tovel it immediately. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Yitma v'achakach yitma. You're metame it, and then afterwards you tovel it. Okay. Now, in order to understand and appreciate what's about to happen, so we all have to know one thing, and this part is, we've gone over a number of times throughout Shas. Notably, we did it in the beginning of Yuma. Okay. Major debate between the Tzedukim and the Purushim. Purushim are the Balei Masara. That's us. Meaning we have Torah Shabbat Peh, and we maintain the tradition of Torah Shabbat Peh. And whenever we look at the Torah, and any pasuk in the Torah, so we're going to look at it through the lens of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's our interpretation is the one that was handed down to us from all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu by Har Sinai. Good. And then, during Bai Sheni, most prominently, so you had these sectarian groups that basically said, give us a Chumash, thank you. The Torah Shabbat Peh, no thank you. And they reject the Torah Shabbat Peh. Good. And so, and the most popular of these groups are the Tzedukim. There are other groups as well, but the Tzedukim. And as we've noted numerous times throughout Shas, so during Bai Sheni, they weren't this fringe group. They had a political stronghold during that period of time. It was a real fight that took place. And so, what happens is that on a number of occasions, so what we had to do is that we had to put our foot down, saying no, don't do it that way. You remember the Gemara's in Yuma where with some Kohen Gadols, we pleaded with them, meaning do the Avoda correctly. Meaning you're looking at the Chumash and you're looking at the Parsha of the Avoda and you think you know how to do it, but in other words, but you've rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh and you're gonna switch orders around and you're not gonna do it well. Not do it well, you're gonna do it incorrectly. Okay. So it was contentious. So one of the things that held as a prominent debate. And I know to you and I, it's hard to, we don't have paraduma now, and it's, you know, we don't dabble in this nowadays. But during Bai Sheni, what was a prominent debate was the following. When dealing with the paraduma, the Torah does, you say the word that you need an ish tahor to come along and to collect, and without going through all the details. We, the Purushim, were of the position that ish tahor does not mean that he has to be totally tahor. He can even be a tvil yom. That's our tradition, which means it's kind of ironic, meaning that generally speaking, when it comes to the paraduma and the preparation of the paraduma, so you need the highest level of tahara. That's not true. Meaning our tradition tells us that you don't need the highest level of tahara. You tovel in the mikvah, even though you still require Harav Shemesh, and you can go ahead and you can put together the paraduma. The Tzedukim read the parsha in the Torah, and they assume that vatahara means that you have to be totally tahor. Meaning you need tefillah and you need Harif Shemesh as well. So what do we do? So what we did is that in putting together the paraduma, and during Bai Sheni, by the way, it was done a number of times. When putting together the paraduma, so what we did is that we went and we were metame the person who was going to be burning the paraduma, he told them the mikvah, and now that was a, you see tzedukim, this is our tradition, this is the correct way to do it, and it's a hotzi miliban shel tzedukim. Okay, good. And it was educational slash, it was us making a clear stand. Okay, now with all that stated, so now, when it comes to the paraduma, what do I need? I need there to be a requirement of Harif Shemesh so that we can ignore Harif Shemesh. Okay, I know that's tricky. I know that's a little bit complicated. But if you're following well, I need a requirement of Harif Shemesh so that we can ignore it. Because again, by Paraduma, I only need Tefillah and I don't need Harif Shemesh. Okay, so if you can keep that in mind, let's take a look at the Gemara. So, Bishlama, we're five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Bishlama, the Rabbi Yoshua, Hainadika, Heker, let's duke him. So for Rabbi Yoshua, it makes perfect sense. Because what did Rabbi Yoshua say? We're going to be metame. We're talking about the tube right now. We're going to be metame the tube. So that what? So that we could tovel the mikvah, and now we could fill it in right now. So it works out great. Did not metame, how you say, Kona, Sarif, Sapar, Lahotzi, Malib, Mishra, Zukin, Shay, Yomim, Ben Morave, Shamash, Shay, Nasis. So again, so over here, the Mishnah and Para, so I'm not going to explain it because I just explained the whole thing. So the Mishnah and Para tells us that the Tzedukim think that you need Tefillah and Harif Shemesh. We know that you don't. So what we do is that we go out of our way to be Mitame so that you can talk on the Mikvah and ignore Harif Shemesh because the Halacha allows you to ignore Harif Shemesh. So, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, it works out perfectly. Because what did Rabbi Yeshua say? Be Mitame the tube and then from there, be mitam of the tube, tov of the tube, and you're good to go. Now, but it's a way of showing that the tzedukim are wrong. But el Rabbi Lazar Yamar Bishlam Abalma Bina and Harif Shemesh Hainadika Iker Letzdukim. Now, what about the shita of Rabbi Lazar? Again, go back to that Mishnah and Parah. What did Rabbi Lazar say? Yitbal Miyad. You tovel it right away. You tovel it right away. Now, who was the manufacturer? So it was a Jew. What was our concern? Maybe a little bit of a spit of the Am Aretz landed on it. Meaning, our Mishnah here in Chagiga. Now, if the basic requirement is that for a Klisha Nigmar B'Tahara, so what do I need? I need Tefillah and Harif Shemesh. Perfect. Perfect. Because now, Rebbe Lazar would tell you, good. So we'll tovel it. And as far as the Harif Shemesh is concerned, I know you need it, but again, this is for Paraduma, so you don't need it, if you're following. So, but Eli, Yamar, Bamalabin, and Harif Shemesh, Maya Kerlitz Dukimika, but if I do not need Harif Shemesh, so then what kind of hacker is there for the Tzdukim? Meaning, if the basic halacha of Kalim Shenigmar of Tahara is that it only requires Tefillah and it doesn't require Harif Shemesh, that's bad. When I say bad, what do I mean? Meaning, because the Tzdukim know, and by the way, this is a lot of information for Tzduki to know, but Tzdukim know that you don't need Harif Shemesh, and so now you're not showing up the Tzdukim, because a basic halach is that it only requires Tefillah, and it doesn't require Harif Shemesh. And there is no platform over here to show the Tzdukim that they're wrong. Okay, so my heker looks to Kamika. So Amar Rav, Asukita Mesheretz. So Rav says, okay, so here's how we're going to resolve it. When it comes to Kalim Shenigmar B'Tahara, right, case number 6 of our Mishnah, so the halacha is that it requires Tefillah and that's it. It doesn't require Harif Shemesh. Good. Now, what about the Shvaferis for the Paraduma? That the Chachamim made an additional gzera. A Shvaferis for Paraduma, how did the Chachamim treat it? They treated it like a Zav, like it came into contact with a Zav. I'll say it again, I'll say it correctly. They treat it like it came into contact with the Sheretz. Asu ketami Sheretz. So basically what they did is that for the Shvaferis of the Paraduma, so for that, they gave an additional gzera. General baseline gzeras for Kalim Shenigmar B'Tahara. So that, like we said, it's a Chomer Midrabban, it's a Chshash Ba'alma, and for that you just need to be Tefillah, doesn't need Harif Shemesh. But over here, for the Shvaferis for the Paraduma, the Chachamim gave it additional tuma gzera. It's as if it touches sheretz. So elamehata lo titame adam alama tanya. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. So it's as if it touches sheretz. So what does that make the shvaferis if it touches sheretz? Shofaris, now is a Rishon. So now you touch the tube. So what are you? Nothing. Zero. Meaning Adam does not become Tame from a derivative. So the Gemara says, okay, all that's good, but we do have a Braisa. Alama Tanya, Chot Chamat, Bilaton Tvila. That the one who cut it meaning the one who finished manufacturing it, so he has to tovel in the mikvah. Oh, so you see over here that the Chachamim did give it extra tuma, but extra tuma, meaning to the point in which you now touch the finished tube and you're now going to have to tovel in the mikvah. Oh, so the Gemara says you're right. Okay, so you're right. So ve'ela asu kitamimes. So the Gemara says now the Chachamim gave the shofaris additional tuma, more than just contact with the sheretz, tumas meis. Ah, so tumas meis, meaning now that the tube itself now is an ava tuma. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, slow down. So, I hachi tibay hazar shlishi vishvi. Alam atanya chot chamat bil aton tvila. Tvilin hazar shlishi vishvi alone. So, but meanwhile, if it was real tumas meis, meaning that's a gzera, so then of course you would have to go through a purification process of 7 days. And over here, there's only a requirement to tovel in the mikvah. So Ella Asua Batamimes Bishvi Shalom. So the Gemara says, you know what the Chachamim did? So they were gozer tuma on the Shvaferis of the Paraduma. And which level of tuma? Tumas Mace, day 7. Now that's unbelievably creative. That's really creative.
But then you need an Asura on day 7, no?
Okay, so let Vihatanya me'olam lo chichu davar bepara. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We have a brisa that says that they weren't super creative when it comes to paraduma. Meaning, the Chachamim made a number of gzeras. That part's true. All the gzeras they made conform to pre-existing categories. The Chachamim didn't open up the gzera box and say, you know what? Let's do something really innovative. The brisa says they didn't do that. Lo chichu davar bepara. And over here, you're talking about what seems to be real innovation, that the Chachamim made a gzera regarding the Shvaferis, that it's going to have the status of a Tumas Meis, but only on day 7? That sounds pretty innovative. So Amar Abai Shalo Amru Korda Matame Moshav. So the Gemara says, no, Abai says, no, you misunderstood the Brisa. To say something is Shvi'i Shal Tumas Meis, that's a little bit creative, admittedly, but at least it conforms to a basic category. When the Braisa says lo chichu davar bapara, we're talking about really being innovative, which you cannot do. So for example, taking a kardom, now I'll translate it as like an axe or a hatchet. I don't think I'm right. Whatever. It's some wide instrument. You cannot make that tumas moshav. Kidetanya va yoshev ala kli, yachol kafa sav yoshev ala tarka yoshev ala, yetama tamalama va yoshev ala kli, asher yoshev ala yitma, mishim yuchalishi va yatsotesh shomrim lo, amav nasa malachtenu. So let's say, for example, you have, oh, I don't know, a bucket where you put the cement in. And right now the bucket's empty, you turn it over, you sit down on it. And a zav sits down on it. It's now medrash, right? No, it's not medrash. Because anytime you have something that you're sitting on, where somebody else says, hey, do me a favor, we need to get back to work. Can you give me the bucket? So that's not a chair. That doesn't have the status of a moshav. And it's not going to be subject to tumas medras. So when we say that we're not innovative as it relates to paraduma, taking something that does not have the status of medras and giving it the status of medras, that's innovative. That's something that we're not going to do. But the shfoferus to give it the status of tumas meis, admittedly, however, it's novel in that what kind of Tumas Meis are we talking about? Day 7 of Tumas Meis, that's a little bit creative, but that doesn't overextend in terms of the limits of creativity, and that's going to be acceptable. Basically, the point is the Shvalferis for the Paraduma is going to be on a higher level of Tuma than that of your basic Kalim Shenigmar Batara. Your basic Kalim Shenigmar Batara. Okay, so there's a degree of tumah. It's a small degree. And in fact, what's going to resolve the problem? Just simple tefillah b'mikvah, and that's it. It doesn't even need harav shemesh. Ah, but when it comes to the shvaferis for the paraduma, the chachamim gave an extra level of tumah. What extra level of tumah? So we're going to be now in this really strange world of it's going to be tumas meis, but not day 1, not day 2, day 7 of tumas meis. And Rav Chaim, and just in terms of your question, I guess over here when we say day 7, meaning it's going to be day 7 Post Hazaa, post the second Hazaa. Yeah. I think so. I mean, it has to be. Okay, good. All right, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Okay, admittedly, by the way, the third parak of Chagiga is a little bit challenging. Okay, today was a fantastic example. Anyway, but let's quickly recap. Let's just some takeaway points from today's daf. Okay, number one, the finished discussion regarding Ne'emanusav and Amaretz. To what degree does he have credibility, if any? Limited. The answer is limited amount of credibility for the Amaretz. Giving you basic information, that's fine. Anything that is halachically based, so we assume that he doesn't have the halachic knowledge, and therefore he has no Ne'emanus. Okay, two. We talked about where if a kli is tummy through tumas mashkin, which is a tuma de rabban for a kli. We went over why that is, but so if it touches the back of the kli, only the back is tummy, but the other parts of the kli are not tummy. And this idea is only true when for a kli for truma, not for a kli for kodesh. That was the second part of the second chumra of our mishnah. Then, as we move to chav beiz amud beiz the bottom. Holding a medrash in one hand, holding truma or a barrel of truma in the other hand, you're good. The barrel of truma is going to be good, meaning it's not going to be tummy. But if you're holding a barrel of kodesh in the other hand, so then that's going to be tummy. You're not allowed to do that, right? There's a reason why I said I made both of those sentences. But anyway, so the why is Gzera only limited to kodesh? Because of Maisa Shahaya. And a good part of Chagim Amud Aleph is a discussion in which when the Chachamim make a gzera, which is predicated on an episode, so how limited are they in terms of going beyond what the basic features of the episode? Okay, and that takes us through a good part of Chagim Amud Aleph. Then, Kalim HaNigmarim B'Tahara, the rest of today's daf, which is the sixth chumrah of our Mishnah. Right, number four we skipped, number five we touched on earlier in the parak, but number six, the sixth chumrah of our Mishnah, Kalim HaNigmarim B'Tahara, and here's the upshot. That if I have a kli that was finished b'tahara, so for kodesh I have to tovel it. For truma I don't have to tovel it. Why do I have to tovel for kodesh? What's the concern? So the concern is, despite the fact that a chaver manufactured it, but into a shop came in an amaretz pre-production, and what he did is by accident he spit on it. The spit remained moist until post-production, and that's why. And that's a concern. Admittedly, by the way, that's a really It seems to be a stretch in terms of a concern, which then may explain why it is that the Chachamim only made this Gzera for Kodesh and not for Truma. Okay. And then what we did is a side-by-side comparison between the Kli HaNigmar B'Tahara over here in our Mishnah and Chagig in the beginning of the third parak, and the Kli HaNigmar B'Tahara in the Mishnah and Para, where there we talked about the Shvaferis that was finished. And when it was finished, what do you have to do? Meshit is amongst the Tanayim. And then a question of how do those shitas over there fit in with our shita over here? Our shita over here says you tovel it and that's it. Doesn't even need Harif Shemesh. Are the Mishnayos over there in Para going to be in agreement with us? The answer is no. That's the summary answer. The answer is no. And the reason why is because when it comes to shofars for Para Duma, the Chachamim gave it extra tuma. Extra tuma, that of a Tumas Mace on day 7. Okay, Adkan.